Times, a senior citizens podcast brought to you by the Clay County Senior Citizens Center in Manchester, Kentucky. This is Peyton Stevens
and Carmen Roberts.
Some of the people we chat with may be our clients, some may be former clients, some may not be clients at all, they may be family members of the elderly in Appalachia. Some may be people that have information for our elderly. We don't know where this will go, but it will be wherever the Lord wants it to go.
We basically wanted to highlight the lives of our people in Appalachia, the things they've done, their family traditions, the closeness of family and community, their strengths, their passions, and their legacy. We want their memories and stories to be told and to live on even when they are gone.
So without further ado, here is our special guest of this episode.
We hope that you enjoy.
Today's guest is one of our senior clients. We have left their identity a mystery for now. Leave your guesses in the comments and wait until next time for the reveal.
Yeah. All right, we are here with a 98-year-old wife and mother. First off, we want to ask, where were you born?
I'm born right here on the curb.
And where would that be?
In Clay County.
What is your first memory in life that you can remember?
That I can remember? Well, I'd have to stop and think on it. I was sick with polio to start out with when I was 6 years old. And they sent me to Lexington and had a lot of surgery done on me. Now that was about the most I know about my young days.
What was life like in the 1930s here in Appalachia?
Lord, I don't even remember being here in 1930.
Well, when you were little, what was it like? What was a day like for you at home?
Nothing. You sat there and played in the sand in front of the house. You played in the sand.
What games did you play?
They wouldn't know. I didn't hear of a game. I just played in the sand with my dogs, and that was about it.
What about any ball games?
I never heard of a ball game. My brothers used to play. I had two brothers, and they used to play down in the barn lot with cobs. Throw cobs, but I never heard of a ball.
Okay.
Ball games or nothing like that.
It'd be corn cobs, throwing corn cobs.
And my dad, if he caught them doing that, he'd make them stop and go carry rocks or do anything on the farm. Uh-huh. He wouldn't let them play.
Uh-huh. It was work most of the time.
Work. That's all he believed in was work.
Yeah.
No playing at all.
What about swimming? Any swimming here anywhere?
Very seldom ever went to the river and swimmed.
Hmm.
What about you, Mom and Dad? Tell us a little bit about them.
Like I told Fanny, he wasn't a good daddy. He provided for the family real good. But he was mean to my mother. And he liked women. And he would run around on her. And when she would find out about it, then she would, I guess, say something to her. Then he'd beat on her and choke her. I've seen him choke her. And then I was always the youngest. And I would holler at my brothers. And they'd come to him, and then he'd simmer down. But he was mean to my mother, and I had a good mother.
Had a good mother.
Yeah, and she died it when she was 54 years old.
What did she die from?
Some kind of, they called it leakage of the heart, a heart problem, They said she had enlarged heart and leakage of the heart.
So he was pretty stern with you all, your dad.
Oh, yes. He was real. and she died when she was 54 years old.
So you were left with no mother.
I was 15. And then I went to stay with my sister in Hamilton, Ohio. And then I stayed with her till then I'd stay with Esther Davidson's wife with my sister, May. Uh-huh. And I would stay back and forth with the two sisters till I got married. Mm. And when I got married, then I...
What did you do besides working on the farm when you was little? Did you have any other types of jobs or anything?
Jobs? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I worked in the bakery when I got old enough in Hamilton, Ohio. And then I'd go back to my sister May's, and I didn't do nothing, you know, down here. There wasn't no work down here. And then I'd stay with her till I got married.
You just worked like baking and cooking and taking care of animals on the that sort of thing when you were here.
Yeah. We just.
Did you have animals growing up?
No, nothing other than just cows and
horses.
Horses, cows, and horses. Yeah.
Chickens.
Chickens. Yeah.
A dog? Did you ever have any dogs?
I always have a dog.
What did you think that you were going to be when you grew up?
I never did think nothing about it. I didn't know you had any other life than what you live around here. I didn't know there was any other countries. I didn't know any of that stuff.
So you'd never been even to Manchester?
Very few times, maybe four or five times. Uh-huh. I had never been.
Was there somebody that you looked up to when you were growing up?
My sister. Yeah. Yeah, I looked up to them. Yeah.
How many brothers and sisters did you have?
I had three. They were four girls and two boys. Mm. Yeah.
And the sisters were all older than you.
Yeah.
So they were married and you were still at home?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They was all married. Yeah, I was just home by myself.
Where did you go to school?
Down here right around the curve there, where Donald's old barn is. Remember where the, where Donald's barn? Mm-hmm. I went to school down there and the road went behind the house and ran the river down there. And I walked.
That's what I was going to say. So you walked every day to school?
I walked every day to and from school. Huh. Yeah.
Well, tell us some about your friends when you were growing up, like when you were going to school.
I didn't have no friends. I had, the girl right here lived in this house right here where these steps go. Mm-hmm. My girlfriend lived there, and there was only me and her. That's the only girlfriend I had. And I wasn't allowed to come play with her. We would meet at the church house, which was about halfway.
Yeah.
And we would play up the church sometimes.
And then you would play with her at school?
Yeah, that's all the friends I had was at school.
What was your favorite subject at school?
None of it. You asked me for the truth.
Yeah. You didn't like school?
I hated school with a proper passion, and I do today.
Uh-huh. What about your teachers?
Ray Bowen was my teacher. And my Aunt Ollie Reed was one of my teachers. And my sister was one of my teachers. But I didn't like her. Because she had to make a good impression on the rest of the kids, and I got whipped all the time. But she was good to me. I mean, I don't mean nothing bad about her.
What's the first car that you remember owning?
My dad had a Zip-It.
A Zip-It.
And that was back just before my mother died. And we used to drive that. My grandmother and my mother's mother and daddy lived in Laurel County, and we had to go up 80 to see her, and we only got to go once a year. Uh-huh. And we would go up that hill, big hill, to my grandmother's house. And we would, and the boys, the two brothers, they would with us. My dad never did go with us no more. So when we would go up there and come back home, they would turn the gas off of that old whippet. They would turn the gas off and coast all the way down the hill to save gas. Because we didn't get that too much gas. Yeah. And my dad wouldn't have liked it if we'd have wasted too much gas. So they would coast as far as they could. They called it Cheating Johnny.
What was the first car that you had once you got older, yourself?
Myself.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in Vernon Springs, and that was in 1952. And it was a 49 Chevrolet. And couldn't drive a lick. But I bought it anyway.
Did you teach yourself to drive?
Yeah. Right up and down this road.
Was it a Was it a stick shift?
Stick shift, yeah. Yeah. And then I couldn't get driver's license at Manchester because you had to stop on that hill. Going up the hill, stop and start. You had to stop dead still. And you had to start on up, and you couldn't let it roll back. So I knowed I couldn't get driver's license there. So I went to law and McKee and got me and two kids, and they let me have driver's license. And I told them if they would give me a driver's license, I would go in Manchester, that I would park and go walking.
You were lucky enough to be married two times to men that were in the military.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about those two men.
The first man had already come out of the Army when we got married.
He was in the Army.
Yeah. And then in 54, I met Esther and married him. And then that was my Army life. Then I kind of got out in the wide open world. I didn't know anything about anything.
So they were both in the Army?
They had been in, well, it's in World War II.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The first one was.
Yeah. Where was he stationed in World War II? Do you know?
Not really. Atterbury, Indiana. I remember writing letters to him in Atterbury, Indiana.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't know anything. I didn't know where that was at.
Where did you meet your first husband?
I met him on the side of the road. That's all I know. I mean,
What attracted you to him?
Well, you know how young girls are. Without any man attracts you at first. And I just liked him at first sight. And I think not much of that first marriage to talk about, you know. He was a mechanic after he came out of service. He was a mechanic, and he worked in garages all the time.
Where did you all live?
In Oneida. We lived in a few different places, Oneida and Vernon Springs. That's my first husband.
And then how he passed away, how did he die? What did he die from?
He got killed in a car wreck. Yeah.
And you were left with?
Two babies. And I went to stay with my sister, May, again. And I stayed with her till about 4, 5, 6 months, and I moved in that old store. There was an old storehouse in Oneida, and I moved in it.
And had the two babies. They were small.
Yeah. And the flood come along and swept me out of Oneida, and I never did go back to Oneida, and I went to Burning Springs. By that time, I had a little money coming in from the Army. Well, my first husband was in. So I had a little bit of money, about $100 and some a month, I think it was.
Were you working then?
No, I never did work till my last baby was about 6 years old.
Well, where did you meet your second husband?
I met him up here at the head of law. He passed by, and I got in my own car, and I went up through there. Me and my girlfriend went up through there, and we chatted a little bit at the head of law. And we started courting.
You just picked up all your husbands on the side of the road. Well, how did you court? What did you do for dates and stuff?
Well, there wasn't much dating to him because he was in the Army. We didn't get to see too much of one of them. When he did come home, we stayed at home pretty close. Mm-hmm. But every once in a while, we'd go to Boonville to a drive-in. They had a drive-in there, and we'd go down there every once in a while.
Okay, so your second husband then, where was he stationed?
Lord, I don't know how many different places he was stationed. He went to Korea and about twice, and Germany, and what was that other? Korea and that other one. Vietnam, yeah, Vietnam. And then he'd done spent about two tours there, then he come back, and then they sent him again back to Germany, and that's when I went to Germany. And he was, he'd been over there about a couple of 3 months, and he wrote and asked me if I could make it to Germany. Uh-huh. And he said, now you'll have to ride a boat. You know, and I told him, I said, I'd ride a billy goat to get to Germany to you. So that was the starting of that. So they were, I went to Fort Knox and got all of my paperwork done. And then I wound up in Germany with you. And I did ride a boat.
Did?
Yes, I did. And it was a commercial boat. It wasn't one of these your luxury boats. And I was, took us 10 days to get on. And I was sicker than a dog the whole 10 days.
Seasick. Did you have your children with you?
I had all four of them with me. I loaded in an old 56 Mercury and went to New York. With four kids. Couldn't read a road map. Couldn't read nothing. Never had been nowhere harder than Manchester.
And you drove by yourself?
I went by myself. And my niece, his husband, would ride on the road map every time I had to change a route. Like a different number, he'd circle it. So I know when I got to there, I had to start looking, and I only got lost one time. And I went about half of a mile, and somebody was mowing grass. And I asked her, and she said, turn around and go back, and told me how to, and I only got lost one time.
That was amazing.
Yes, it was.
What year was that when you went to New York and went to Germany?
61, yeah.
What was the difference between Clay County and New York and Germany?
A lot of difference. I'm going to tell you, when I got to Germany, then I had to ride a train for about 3 days and nights and couldn't speak a word of English, I mean, of German. And I was on that train. There was one soldier on there, and he did help me. Uh-huh. He helped me with the kids too. So
that was a big undertaking for Lord. You.
And they told me, when you get on that boat now, said you, they told them that, yeah, they told me, now eat plenty when you get on that boat or you'll be sick. So we got on that evening and I eat supper. And I eat plenty, just like they told me. And I was sick the whole time. But what they meant was for me to take crackers and stuff like that to just munch on them. Mm-hmm. But no, I eat it all. And then I was sick the whole time over there.
Sick again.
Yeah. So then I rode my train for so many days. And I got way up there in Bamberg, Germany. And that was close to the Russian border, Berlin line. Wall. And my husband met me up there. And when we got off the plane, off that train, we were supposed to go down underneath to the terminal and back up over there. I seen my husband over there, and honey, we been licking his foot right across them train tracks. And all the way over there. And he was the hauling, you know.
You were too excited to see him.
I didn't know what I was into. I don't know how I got there. I really don't. But the Lord was with me.
So what was your life like then once you were in Germany? Did you live on the base?
We lived about 2 or 3 months out in Germany. But then we moved on base as soon as we could get a place. And it was just like any other place. I mean, they were all soldiers and American people, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was all the same. But we would go and visit, and they had their cattle, their barns under the house. And they had nice windows covered, you know, with curtains on there. But they had their cattle under, and they worked with deers. Uh-huh. I mean, steers. Uh-huh. I worked with steers, you know. They didn't have no horses or nothing. Yeah. And they all had all of their houses all in a bundle. They wasn't no houses just along here along the highway. They wasn't no houses that way. It was all in one place.
So you'd never seen anything like that?
No, I'd never seen nothing like that because there's houses everywhere here, you know. And then we went to France. Just visiting, you know, driving around. And they lived a lot poorer than Germany did. Mm-hmm. They had just some ragged curtains over the windows, and they kept all their windows covered up with rock. So,
what was your favorite place that you got to visit?
Germany.
Germany.
Yeah. Black Forest, where they make them their clocks. Mm-hmm. We got to go there. Well, we visited a lot of places in Germany. In fact, every weekend we would go somewhere close. Mm-hmm. And when he'd get some furlough time, we would go farther away, you know, and set up a tent. We had to travel with a tent because we couldn't afford, you know, get motels or something like that. So we took a tent with us, a Volkswagen, with 4 kids and a dog in a tent, in a camping. We got to see a lot of stuff like that.
Did you love that? Did you have a good time?
Oh, yeah. We made good about the whole time we was over there. Yeah, we did. I had a lot of good memories there.
Yeah.
So, between you and your husband, which parent did the most disciplining?
My husband was the leader.
He was?
Yeah, he was our leader.
What were some of the jobs that you had in your life?
Jobs? Well, if we come back here in 64, we went to Alabama. Then he got stationed back at Fort Knox. and I got a job at the ammunition plant in Charlestown, Indiana. And I worked at that ammunition plant where they made bags to put black powder in, and then they stocked them bags with black powder in somewhere else, you know. And I worked there for about 9 or 10 years. And then I got laid off, and then we built a house in Jeffersonville, Indiana while I was working. And then we sold it and come back here then. Wound up right back where I started from.
So then what happened to your second husband?
Well, we disagreed and divorced. And he went his way and I went mine.
Your children were grown then?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were all grown, married off. You know. Yeah.
How many children did you have?
Four. I had two, a boy and a girl by my first husband, and two boys by my last husband.
Well, what were some of your favorite hobbies or pastimes?
Well, I don't know. I had any really favorite ones. I liked it so a little bit, yeah. You know, I guess that was about it.
Sewing and traveling, that sounds like what you did.
Yeah.
What did you do after you and your husband divorced?
I was working at Marco Ingredients, and I worked there for about 9 or 10 years. And then I got laid off, and then I didn't go back no more to work. And then I didn't do nothing. I just went to see my sister a lot in Dayton, Ohio. And then me and her then moved to Florida. And we lived down there 6 years. And we just did a little bit of everything while we was down there. Just whatever one would think of, we'd do.
You had a good time.
Yeah, we just enjoyed each other. No, nothing exciting. We just enjoyed dinner, you know. And then she got cancer, and then we moved back up here, and then we come back up here in November, and she died the coming January. Yeah. So
that's how you ended up back here.
That's how I ended up right back here. Yeah.
Back where you started again.
Right back where I started. I left home about 4 or 5 times, and I always wound up back in my head, right out here on Mexico.
Well, you've lived everywhere, you've traveled everywhere. What was your favorite place to be at?
Well, I guess Indiana. We had built a home up there, and I guess that was my best part of my life.
What are some of the important lessons through life that you have learned?
Well, don't trust everybody. and appreciate what you do get. Yeah. And anybody that does anything for me, I always try my best, the best I can.
Tell us what you're proud of in life.
What I'm proud of. I'm so proud that I can say I trust God. I guess it's the biggest thing I can say is I have learned there is a God, and I'm thankful for everything He's done for me. He has done everything. He's brought me through many of the hard places. And I guess that's my biggest. Ain't nothing you can be any prouder of than being knowing God.
You're an animal lover. We know that.
Yes, I do.
You love animals. You love your dogs, your birds. What's been some of your favorite pets through your lifetime?
Dogs.
Dogs. Always dogs.
Always dogs. Yeah, I've always had dogs. Yeah. Yeah, Esther bought me a poodle in Germany, and that was the smartest dog that I ever seen. It would it loved to take pictures. But yeah, well, dog's my favorite.
What was the name of the first dog that you had that you remember?
Cricket. And I bought him with a big old stick of peppermint candy. I got it out of the store, which my mother and daddy already had.
Uh-huh.
And one of the customers, young kids, gave me the dog, and I gave him that big old stick of candy. That was Cricket.
Well, how has your life been different than you imagined that it would go?
Well, it's everything is different. I would have never thought I would have ever built this home for one thing. And I would have never thought that I would have ever had what I thought. I mean, I've worked hard to keep it and not hold on to it. But that's it.
Well, how do you think that you've made it this far to be 98 years old?
The good Lord above. The good Lord above. He has brought me out of a lot of jams. And I'm sorry of anymore. But he was always right there to hold my hand.
You seem to be pretty with it, and you remember a lot, and you're in pretty good, for your age, you're in good health.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that I'm blessed. I really do. I feel blessed.
Is there one thing that you think that you've done that's helped to kind of keep you healthy mentally?
No, and I can't think of nothing right off.
Well, in your opinion, what do you think was the best decade of the last 98 years? Like the 20s or the 30s or when?
I guess the happiest life I spent was when I was in Germany with my husband and family.
And that was in the 60s?
That was in the 60s, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
What life event, something has happened in your life, that has helped to make you the person you are today?
Well, I guess just knowing the Lord on this. I mean, if I hadn't got to living my fast life and hadn't got to know Him, I would have never made it this far.
All right, what were some special moments that you had with your husbands and your children? What are some of the best memories you have with your family?
Was when he would come back from overseas. Mm-hmm. And we would go to meet him at the airport. That was my era, I guess, most happiest. And the most saddest was the day he would leave.
Well, is there any advice that you could give to the young people of today?
Well, just be honest. And the good Lord will take care of you if you're honest.
Well, at 98 years old, what is the one thing that makes you the happiest?
The one thing that would make me the happiest.
Or in your daily life, what makes you the happiest?
I appreciate you fellas more than anything that I could ever say.
We love you. We love you.
Now, I know that we're no relation, but I feel family to you. I feel like you fellas, and I feel like Bailey is a grandkid.
She feels the same to you.
I sure do, and I just, there's nothing that would make me no happier than to see her happy.
Well, that's awful sweet. Thank you.
Sure, I just feel like you fellas are family to me anymore.
We feel the same way.
We do.
Same way.
And at first I was just so scared that I said, this is too good. It can't be true. And Bailey knows that I would ask, well, when they would miss a day extra, I'd think, are they going to come back? I'd show her. But I just finally got used to it then, and I didn't feel that way no more. But I sure did for the first little bit. I just thought this is too good to be true.
And we wouldn't have it any other way.
I mean, I sure appreciate every bit of it. Every bit of it. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a good place to wrap it up for this time. We thank you an awful lot. And for everybody listening, we thank you for being here and listening with us. And the next time that you pop in, we will reveal who was with us during this interview. Thank you so much.
Well, I certainly appreciate that, young man.